Good morning, everyone. Has everyone got a little piece of paper like this and a pencil? If you haven't, just give your hand a wave and one of our ushers will come and give that to you. Well, I need to tell you, I said yes to being in a life group. It's a big step when you've been coming to church for a while. But the thing that got me over the line, you know, the life groups that Mark was just talking about, it's only for 7 weeks. And I figured we'll probably stay longer in the group, but you can say yes to 7 weeks because it doesn't seem as life-threatening that you're not signing up for the next 10 years. But Mark and I were here a couple of weeks ago when they first launched it and said, let's form groups for 7 weeks over Jesus the Game Changer. And we looked at each other and went, yep, it's time. We've been at this church for over a year now and it's just time to jump in. So if you're feeling a little timid about saying yes to that, I get it. But it's only 7 weeks. So if you hate it, there's an end in sight. But I'm sure you won't hate it. I'm sure you'll love it. But some of us are yes people and some of us are no people. You know, the people that when you ask them to do something and they're just like, nah, nah. And you're like, but just think about it. Okay then. If you're a yes person, you probably go home often, like me, and go, oh no, why did I say that? What have I signed up to? How long is this going to be? What's it going to cost me? I did it again. I'm too big. You know, that's the yes people. The no people, I suspect, might go home and go, why didn't I just do it? Why didn't I just say yes this once? And I wonder what I've missed out on. All right, so we're going to have some fun this morning, all right? I'm going to ask you to stand if you're going to say yes to the question that I ask you. Everyone has to participate today. All right, so there's no bystanders, there's no hanger-oners. Everyone's going to be all in. So here it is. Here's the statement. I like chocolate more than chips. If you say yes to that, stand up. I like potato crisps, you know, those chips. I like chocolate. Everyone look around. They're the sweet tooths. Okay, sit down. I like footy more than cricket. Yes, stand up for that. All right, okay. Have a seat. Some of you haven't kind of got over the line yet. All right. I love going to the movies. Yes, stand up. Okay. Sit down. I love eating vegetables. Stand up. All the healthy people. There we go. All right, have a seat. Last one. I love getting up early in the morning and exercising. Stand up if it's you. Oh my gosh, what the heck are you thinking? Sit down. I love sleeping in. Yeah. Well, well done you, because that's why church is at 10 o'clock. All right. You know, there was a character in the Bible who lived with a yes in his heart. And it's the Apostle Paul. And he responded every time the Holy Spirit told him to do something. He just changed plans and did it. And I read the journeys of Paul, particularly the missionary journeys, and I think, imagine living with that kind of a yes, that you would even change plans, even change destinations by dreams in the middle of the night. He had a prompting one night and he was going one whole direction, and on the prompting of a dream, when he woke up, he's like, we've got to go somewhere else. I thought we'd have a go at reading one of these stories to you. It's got so many names, so many cities in countries that I can't even pronounce. So you can have a good laugh if I get it wrong. But let's just whip through and listen to the story of Paul before he went to plant a church in a place called Philippi. Here we go. It's in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia. Would anyone say that first word differently? You would? How would you say it, Andrew? Say that again? There you go. That place and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. It's like reading begat, begat, begat. You're like, I don't even know where they are right now. That night, Paul had a vision. That's important. They're on their way. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us out. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We read on that we boarded a boat at Troas, sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace, and next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we stayed there for several days. All right, so I got to the end of that and I'm like, I have no idea where they are. So what I did was Google Maps. Let's have a look. So this is where they started. You can't quite see it because this image has cut it off, but they started over here at Bithynia and all that is over here. They then traveled right across to, where am I, Mark? Oh, no, I'm up here. There's Phrygia, there's Galatia, there's Mysia, there's Samothrace, there's Neapolis, and then there's Philippi, 10 kilometers away from Neapolis. So they went right from over here to right to over there just because Paul had a vision one night and he heard a whisper from God. So they get there and they spend some time and they wonder, I'm sure, what on earth they're doing there. They look around, they spend a few days, they don't even know why they're there. I don't know if you've ever followed a prompting from God and then just waited for God to show you that day what it is and nothing comes. And then the next day and nothing comes. And the next day, and it's like, did I get this right? Nothing comes. But we read on that on the Sabbath day, verses 13 to 15, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank. This is Paul and Silas, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart. Don't you love that phrase? And she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she urged us until we agreed. So Paul and Silas go on a whim or a nudge or a prompting, whatever it is, they had a yes. They find themselves there for a few days and happen to think, well, let's just go down to the river. People will be gathering for prayer. But just wait a moment, because on the end of every prompting, there is someone who's praying. So imagine Paul sleeping that night with a plan to go elsewhere, and then Lydia is praying, or perhaps just speaking to an unknown God, saying, is there any reason to this? Is there any purpose? What is my destiny? God, right over this side of the continent, says to Paul, go to Macedonia. There's someone waiting for you there. She goes down to the river. They happen to talk. They just happen to have a conversation about God. She just happens to have her heart opened by the Lord, and her whole household becomes followers of Jesus. What a coincidence! That just happens that way. Pretty sure when we're walking with God, they're God incidences, not just coincidences. And I asked myself, what would happen if Paul said, nah? Must have been the pizza the night before. It just must have been that my wife was snoring and I was exhausted. Doesn't usually happen that way. It's the other way around, but I just thought I'd put the wife in there. You know, and he's like, that's why I just had this weird dream. But he didn't. He knew his shepherd's voice and he knew the voice of God. The blessing of obedience was just about to begin. So he's got his first convert. He's got the house church planted. So when you're in the will of God, everything goes smoothly, right? Yes. You know what? It was only a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that I just thought I had that challenge to the deepest part of me. I realized that I had this core belief that if you were a follower of God and you were saying yes and doing what he wanted you to do, everything would be great. I don't know why I thought that. And if it wasn't great, I would just try really, really hard to make it great and try harder and change things and orchestrate my life to get greatness and great moments. Anyone ever done that? Until you actually hit a place where you're like, it's beyond your control and you think, but I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what I think he wants me to do. How come everything sucks right now? So Paul starts, Lydia, easy. Then there's this young girl who also hears the message and becomes a Christian. However, there were men who were using this young girl for other purposes who were angry about the fact that she had joined the house church of Lydia's, and they went to the officials and complained about Paul and Silas. They said they're religious stirrers and they're causing trouble, so they just got thrown into jail. No questions asked. Again, I'd be going, maybe I got this wrong. Should have stayed back in this other place that I can't pronounce and not gone to this place. They don't do that. We read in Philippians that they start to worship God. God sends an earthquake. The whole jail rattles loose and all of the doors are flung open. They stay there, wondering what the next thing is that God's got for them. The jailer comes running down, knowing if the prisoners had escaped, his life would be in jeopardy. He finds them there worshiping. They share their faith with the jailer, who also chooses to follow God, and says, "Come to my house, you prisoners, and share what you've told me with my household." So they leave the jail, go to the jailer's house. The jailer shares his faith. Paul and Silas share their faith with the jailer, and the whole household becomes Christians. Then in the morning, the jailer realizes, hang on a minute, we should be in jail. If the officials come and find no one's there, I'm also in trouble. So they go back to the jail, and Paul and Silas walk willingly into the cell, and the jailer just puts them back in there. Then let's just pick it up at the end where there's this verse that says this. I love it. The Bible just understates things in such a funny way. Acts 16, when Paul and Silas left the prison, when they were finally released after the accusers found no reason to hold them, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. And I love this. Then they left town. Enough's enough. I love it. You know, where you can kind of go on a journey and go, okay, that's it, I'm out of here. You know, there's a limit. But I love it then later on. I'm not going to put this on the screen. But when Paul's writing them out of a Roman cell, he would plant churches, then he'd write them letters. And he wrote them this. It says, "I thank God every time I think of you people," in verse 3 of Philippians. "Every time I think of the way God led us to put us all together, I smile." I think I would smile as well. I think if you planted a church like that, Mark, you'd smile. Just the crazy coincidences that resulted from saying yes every step of the way. And then read this with me. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on, complete it, perfect it, sustain it until the day of Jesus Christ." Saying yes to God is all about surrender. I've written this: in saying yes to God, you're saying, "God knows what's best for me more than I do, and I'm willing to trust him with my life." That sounds so easy to say, but it's actually so hard to live. As a parent, imagine saying, "God knows best for my son or my daughter better than I do, and I'm willing to trust him with my children's lives." That's a big deal. We can say it, but to live it out is a whole other thing. What if your future is unknown? "God knows best about my future. I'm going to trust him with it." Yeah, but I'm actually just going to do all that I can to make it happen the way I want it to. No, God knows best. Trust him. God knows best about the situation you're in right now, and that prompting you're having to do a certain thing, you need to do it because he knows best. And sometimes we hold back because of fear. We have to say no to ourselves, our self-focusedness. It's not a word, but it sounds better than selfishness. So I thought I'd put it in there. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our convenience. We can either live our agenda or we can live God's. And something in me just knows it's better to live God's. It's just not always sensible. It's not always popular. It's people around you won't always understand it. I was preaching once in a church, and the custom in this church was that at the end of the service, if you wanted to give your life to Jesus, like Lydia did, like that little servant girl did, like the jailer did, you'd get to the end of the service and you would just say, "Well, you can raise your hand and indicate that I'm saying yes to Jesus." And that just starts the whole process. And for some in that moment, it's a transformation. For others, it's the first step along the way. So anyway, I was preaching at this church and I had gone through the whole message, but before the message started, I'd seen this couple walk in and I talked to them this morning and I have permission to use their names. So Jacob and Heidi walked into church and they walked all the way down like none of you did and sat in the front row. And you'd think, why would you sit in the front row? Well, I don't know. They were actually high at the time on drugs. So perhaps none of you are high, which is, except I'm not saying anything about you two over there. But they came in and they sat in the front row, and I saw them because they came in just after I started speaking. And as they sat down, they snuggled up close to each other and went sound asleep. The church had really comfy chairs, and, you know, they just sat there and I watched them go, oh, and just went to sleep. I have no idea what I spoke about that morning, but I literally got to the last 1 minute and I saw them wake up. And so then I'm in this part of la, 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 so you can raise your hand. And they're just like, yeah. Anyway, someone else is like, yes, they've just given their life to Jesus. I've said, I think they've just ordered a cup of coffee, to be honest. So they raise their hand and they're both of them, yes. So service finished and I just thought, I've got to go down and talk to these two. So I went down, hey, haven't seen you before. Clearly you don't know about church. No one sits in the front row in church. Like, anyway. And I said, I saw you raise your hand. And this was their response. Yeah, I don't know what it is around here, but it feels good. We just need something good in our life. I'm like, so tell me your story. Well, that was 5 years ago. They were living on the street. They were married, but had been addicted to different substances over the years before and on that day. And they just knew in their heart they had to find somewhere where the yes was about something good and something God. So we chatted. I encouraged them to come back next week. They did. Every week for 12 weeks, they raised their hand in church. They slept less. They came more sober. And you know, that couple are two of the most inspiring people in my world. Neither of them had jobs, of course, but they have both found employment. They've secured a rental property, a beautiful home now, and their second home. Last year, they rang me and said, Karen, we want to renew our vows as followers of Jesus. Would you do the marriage renewal for us? I'm like, yes. And so we had this incredible day. We're out at Ellenbrook. We stood there with just 15 of their friends. They joined a life group. I wonder if it was only 7 weeks, but they're in it now 3 years later, and that life group has been their lifeline. Every time they moved, the life group helps them. Every time they slightly fall off the wagon, the life group picks them back up again and reminds them what their yes means. You know, I watched last night Jacob puts on Facebook. He was obviously estranged from his family. He'd been previously married and had children, and everything was fractured. And he put on last night his son's 16th birthday and all these photos. So I sent him a private message and I just went, only God. And that's what I thought. I need to tell you Jacob and Heidi's story. Because they didn't have 5 years of beautiful, blissful peace. It's been a rugged road and there's been lots of yeses along the way. But God has transformed their life. And even though they didn't know initially they were saying yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, they just knew they had to start saying yes. You know, there's a phrase that goes through my mind often. I'd rather walk with God into an unknown future than stay where I am without him. I don't know what the future holds. I know it's not always going to be easy. One of those songs we sang this morning, I think the second one in, there's this phrase, you will never let me fall. And I had someone challenge me about that a number of years ago, and they just said, are you joking? I fall all the time. God doesn't even know I've fallen. Like, if you knew what I've gone through and the disappointment I've had in him, I'm like, actually, you haven't fallen from him. You've fallen into him. I've fallen heaps. I've had those times where I felt like the only place I've been broken and bloodied and bruised is falling into the hands of Jesus. I know it might sound weird, but every now and then I picture those hands as a nest. I'm like, in that nest, I'm not getting out of it. I'm not going to fall to the ground and to my destruction. He won't let that happen. But I have to have a yes in my heart to him at every point. Ben, I want you to come and join me up here, and we're going to lead you in this time where I'd love you all to be involved. But my husband and I, about a year ago, we just said yes to a holiday. Ever said yes to something that just started small and then it gets way out of control? So this holiday was something that Mark said to me, just let's take a month in the middle of next year and just have some time together. And so I said, yes, that's easy. Then he said, how about we walk across Spain? Well, you have to understand, I don't like to sweat. And so even when we walk around the river, we just have to walk at a pace. Yesterday we were walking. It was humid. He's like, how's this pace for you? Because now we're practicing. I'm like, I'm sweating. I think it's just too fast. We need to just slow down a little bit. So anyway, Mark's got this idea. Let's walk across Spain and do the Camino pilgrimage, which is 800 kilometers. So I said yes. Maybe not as eagerly as the first one. And don't even ask me to try and read those words to you. I'll come back Spanish speaking, I promise. But if it's more than food, toilet, I was going to say wine, but I wouldn't say that, and something else, I won't know the words. So I said yes. And then Mark's, then we started thinking, what if God's got a bigger purpose in this than just walking and hanging out for 38 days, walking 30 kilometres a day? And then I said, what if we're meant to just do something for him in the process? And it was actually Mark who said, well, why don't you ask Baptist World Aid? See if we can do something for them. So I rang them and they came straight back to me and said, are you joking? We have Syrian refugees who walk over 1,000 kilometres just to find safety. They carry their babies. They carry their homes, what they own, with them. Many of them don't make it. They haven't trained for a year in hiking boots. They don't stay at hostels every single night and have pasta and red wine. They're just struggling to live. If you would tell their story, and all of a sudden I knew what the yes was about. It's like standing in Philippi for 2 or 3 days going, yeah, kind of thought it's, he told me to do it, but what's the yes about? Lydia comes down and he's like, I think I get this. Servant girl comes out, I get it. The jailer comes out, okay, I've got it. So my yes to a holiday ended up being, yeah, what if we tell the world about the plight of others? What if we raise awareness and raise funds so every step I take has a purpose? Now that's a yes I want to say. Do you see what God does with stuff? Even your holidays, pop it into his hands and see what he does with it. The little things about your house or your little things about your family decisions you think are little, with God, they're never little. Last week, 2 weeks ago, Mark Edwards, he challenged us as a church to growing capacity. And I took that seriously. My husband and I went home and said, well, how are we meant to grow in capacity this year? What's our yes got to be that will actually help the church that we're in, just as being one of you, to actually feel this sense of God's doing great things? Mark said things like this. This is not a year to shrink back. It's not a year to stop. Start saying yes to things God gives us. I love that he didn't even know what I'm talking about. What if in closing I asked you to stand if you were saying yes to these things? Yes to wanting to live a courageous life. Yes to wanting to do whatever God has for you. Yes to choosing to step into new spaces. Yes to leaving fear behind. Yes to just yes to whatever God's prompting. What if we live like that? So here's what we're going to do. I realize some of you are visiting, and that's okay, but you still need to live with a yes in your life. So those little cards that you got, I'm going to ask you, as the worship team comes up here, to take a minute and to write yes to something. What is it that God's asking of you this year? Here's what I reckon, because I felt prompted to tell you Jacob and Heidi's story this morning. I think there's some of you that are going to say yes to Jesus today. I think there may be some of you that go, it could be a coffee I want. Maybe not. I don't even get what this whole God thing is, but if it's good, which he is, well, I'm in. You know what? That's where it starts for all of us. And we spend the rest of our life working out what being all in is all about. And for the rest, some of us who have walked with Jesus for 20, 30 years, every year should be another all in moment. It should be another yes moment. I, for one, am not going to live in fear. I, for one, am not going to live small. I want to leave this planet doing everything I'm meant to have done. Not kind of get up there to St. Peter or whoever, whatever it's going to look like, and say, you know what, I wanted the caravan and my job was good, so why would I change it? And everyone was happy and I had enough and went to church once a month and had a great life, and see the disappointment on Jesus' face to go, yeah, but it wasn't about you. There was so much more that I had for you. And here's what happens when you say yes. It actually blesses you in return. Pretty sure even though Paul said, let's get out of here, the church is planted, they left the city. he left with a smile on his heart going, God did it again. Bit tough, earthquake, jail, got beaten, but God did it again. He's faithful. So as these guys sing the first verse, I would love you to write what you're saying yes to, but here's what we're going to do with it so you know exactly everything before we start. Over the next few weeks, we're going to put your yes statements on the screen as our pre-service loop. You know when you come in 10 minutes early and it's awkward and you don't know who to talk to? That moment, I dare you to come and sit at the front. And if someone says, are you Jacob? Just say yes, because that'll work. But, you know, come in early, and if you would are happy to put your name on your yes card, that's fine. But if you don't want to do that, you don't need to do it, because we're going to come here and say, our church is saying yes to my marriage is going to go stronger. I'm saying yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm saying yes to stepping out in faith at work. I'm saying yes to reconciling that relationship with a family member. I'm saying yes to trusting God with my finances. And on it goes. And can you imagine the capacity of our church as we stand in faith, believing that we're stepping into bigger spaces? So you go ahead and write that down. Then in about a minute, I'm going to invite you, every single person, to stand. And in this amazing box that I brought from home, I'm going to ask you to come and pop your card in here. Just pop it in there. If you don't mind putting your name on it, pop it on. But if you don't want to, you certainly don't have to. Put the cards in, and then over the next weeks, we're going to celebrate the yes of our church and the capacity that God is growing us into. Is that okay? Right, you take a minute and you write yours down. I'm going to do the same thing. And every one of you, and come and pop them in here. And put your pencil in there too.
Oh, the joy I've found surrendering my crowns at the feet of the King who surrendered. Oh.
God, you've seen all of these cards. You've prompted our hearts. So this is a moment where we stand before you, Lord, and we say yes. Some of those took a long time to write, and every step to bring it to the front was a bit of a difficult step. But we trust you, God. Even though this world is broken and fallen and difficult, your faithfulness is always with us. And you do carry us. So we dare to step out and we dare to believe. Wake us in the middle of the night if you need to and change our plans. But open our heart to believe you can do more in our world and we can step into greater places because you're the one who's asking. And this morning we respond with a yes in our heart and we're grateful for the journey that you have us on. Help us do what we said we would do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Grab a seat, everyone. You know, the last... grab a seat. You know, the last few weeks, I think it's important actually to read the signs and to understand what God is doing. But the last few weeks have been a really challenging week, a challenging season actually for our church. And I... just being vulnerable a little bit for a moment, as I saw so many of you, as your pastor, as I saw so many of you coming forward and putting something in the box, I know some of your challenges. And I actually know that a lot of you have actually been really challenged the last 3 or 4 weeks. There's been challenging words from God every week. And that's really good because sometimes, to be honest, you can come to church and you can take a meal, if you like. You can take something in and maybe you forget the next week. I don't feel that's what God is actually allowing us at the moment to do. I feel like he's actually pressing into us as a church. And I really know, actually, that some of you have been really challenged, not just to make a change for a week, but actually to think about the year that's stretching ahead of us and actually to make some significant changes in your life. Will you actually press in? Will you do actually say, yes, I'm not just going to float around the edges. I'm not just going to, you know, come here, come there, pick here, pick that. But I'm actually going to press in. And I want to say something from the bottom of my heart. As a church, we need you to be pressing in. This year that's stretching out before us is a year where God is actually going to grow our capacity. And we need you to be continuing to say yes and being open to what it is that he's saying to you. I know some of you are having life groups in your home this week. Some of you for the first time, and that's a big change for you. And I want to, right now, just as we've closed the service, just to pray a blessing. Thank you so much for the people that have been saying yes these last few weeks, Jesus. Spirit of God, we recognize your voice here this morning. We acknowledge your presence. And we say thank you for the challenges that have been coming to us. For many of us, actually, the last 2 or 3 weeks. Just as seed has been planted in the ground, Lord, will you help that seed now to grow and to continue to grow this year? Will we actually make decisions even this week that will change us and just start to say yes? Not to shrink back, but to start to say yes more and more. Thank you so much for this beautiful song that we've actually just heard and how well it was sung and how that ministered to our souls. Take that moment into this week and give us strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Thank you all so much for coming and have a fantastic week.